You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I always like to correct myself whenever I say something. We were just having fun with the movie Rudy, and the film of the game that they had was in the 1992 game against Boston College. I got the team right, but not the year. But 92, the movie was released in 93. So I always like to correct myself. Scott Robillet joins us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So I'm the Baton Rouge Advocate. Talk some LSU football now that Brian Kelly will be coming to town. How are you, Scott?
I'm well. How are you guys this morning? Love Rudy. Always makes me cry.
Yes, it sure does. Absolutely. Was this a shocking announcement? When did you guys get the feeling Brian Kelly was on the radar for LSU?
Well, I tell you, obviously all the focus was on Lincoln Riley, right? We even sent one of our writers, Leah Van, who'd gone home to Fort Worth for Thanksgiving. She drove up to Stillwater for Bedlam, you know, anticipating that Lincoln Riley was going to be the guy. And then, but I'm told that at halftime of the LSU-A&M game, LSU Board of Supervisors members were talking, and they were saying, it's not going to be Lincoln Kelly, and the name Brian, it wasn't Lincoln Riley, and the name Brian Kelly started to come up among some of them. And it kind of slowly percolated up a little bit on Sunday, and then it grew on Monday. And this is not a name that we really had on the radar. This is one that you got to the point where LSU was with Lincoln Riley, not getting him and saying he was not going to LSU. And then, of course, he bolted for USC. And you wondered if LSU was stuck, if they were just going to have to settle for a lesser tier coach. And then they go and pull the guy who's, he had just as good a record as Lincoln Riley the last 5 years. Only Nick Saban's won more games among active coaches than Brian Kelly. It was pretty stunning. It was pretty stunning.
What kind of coach? I mean, once it was announced that Ed Orgeron was not going to return, it was kind of, all right, here comes the speculation, right? And all these names get thrown out. But in reality, was LSU always interested in an established coach? I mean, I heard Billy Napier's name was connected, but maybe, all right, he's a little not, he hasn't been a head coach at a Power 5 conference before. Were they looking for an established Power 5 conference coach from the get-go?
I think for sure. And I think the first established coach they wanted was Jimbo Fisher. I mean, Scott Woodward hired Jimbo Fisher when Scott was the athletic director at Texas A&M. They came up together professionally here at LSU in the early 2000s. Scott was working as the director of external affairs under Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, when he was then LSU's chancellor. And Jimbo was, of course, Nick Saban's first offensive coordinator, his only offensive coordinator at LSU. He coached for Les Miles as well. There's a long-standing relationship there and a friendship. And I think if he could have had anybody, I'll never be convinced that if he could have had anybody, that Scott would not like to have had anyone more than Jimbo Fisher. But, yeah, I think Dave Aranda, not enough track record. You heard Mel Tucker's name, and I think there were probably some preliminary discussions there. As far as Billy Napier goes, you know, we could spend the whole show talking about the relationship between LSU and UL. And, UL people regard LSU as the evil empire. LSU regards UL as little brother, an annoying little brother at that, who blames you for all their problems. And that seemed like a non-starter for LSU fans. I think Billy Napier would have had a much better chance to be LSU's coach if he'd done what he did at Southern Miss. Or Houston or Memphis or something like that.
I'll admit maybe I'm a little too old school and maybe I'm a little behind the times, but just from my standpoint, just as an outsider, not in South Bend, not in Baton Rouge, this seems just to me like this is a major coup. LSU pulled a Notre Dame coach out of Notre Dame without that guy being fired or on the hot seat. Does it feel that way? I mean, people love their school. They think everybody wants to go there. Is there a feeling, though, that this was a major pull?
Absolutely. They say the last time a Notre Dame coach left on his own to go be the coach at another school was in 1907.
Yeah,
the coach left for Wisconsin. Over a century. I mean, literally over a century. I mean, this doesn't happen. I mean, you've had Notre Dame coaches fired, obviously, or later surfaced later at another school. Like, well, what about Tyrone Willingham? What there was a gap there between when he was at Notre Dame and he went to Washington. Yeah, guys like that. But no, this doesn't happen. But it is frankly what we've come to expect with Scott Woodward. And you wondered, wait, these are as high, Scott Woodward's hires this year. In April, he hires Kim Mulkey, who's won three national championships at Baylor. Got her to come home, you know, to Louisiana, you know.
Sure did.
But the timing had to be right, and she wasn't coming for nothing. You know, she wasn't coming to go backwards in her salary. They're paying her $2.5 million a year, which is what they're paying Will Wade, the men's coach. In June, he hires Jay Johnson away from Arizona, where he just led them to the College World Series for the second time. And people thought, well, you know, are they settling a little bit? Well, they've come to really embrace Jay Johnson, had the number one recruiting class this year that he just signed. The guy's got a very Saban-like attention to detail, more personable, but a Saban-like attention to detail. And people are really anticipating this coming college baseball season, brought an All-American with him from Arizona. And now he hires Brian Kelly. After hiring Chris Peterson from Boise State to go to Washington when he was there, after hiring Jimbo Fisher from Florida State to go to Texas A&M, these are the kind of hires that have come to be expected from Scott Woodward. This is his MO. Scott, as I said going into this, before they hired, I wasn't sure who they would hire. I said, Scott will not be limited by his imagination or his pocketbook.
Yeah.
And I think he was willing to go after coaches and consider coaches and try to make things happen that most people would not even think to even go there. And I don't think, as an LSU guy, as a Baton Rouge guy, I don't think there's ever been a better suited athletic director at LSU to making something like this happen. And he went out there and landed, as they say, a whale.
It's kind of like that saying, you know, how do you get $20,000 for a speech? You charge $20,000 for a speech. If you want to be a school, if you want to be a school where people will pick up the phone and listen to you, pick up the phone and make the call.
Sure. And there might have even been a call to, you heard Dabo Swinney's name. He might have felt out to everybody, including up to and including Nick Saban. Now, Nick Saban, you know, is 70 years old, and you know, he has to be near the closer to the end of his career than the beginning. He has to be. But, you have to have that imagination. And this is going to be a great debate over how seriously LSU considered Lincoln Riley, how much was there really ever an offer? LSU people will tell you no, that, you know, Lincoln just kind of, you know, always wanted USC all along. We'll see. I know this, Trace Armstrong, the agent, represents Lincoln, represents Brian, represents Scott, you know, so I could see something kind of worked out there behind the scenes. But you have to have the imagination to think that and not be limited by that. And we always, during the search covering it, we tried to do that as well. You knew LSU would be willing to pay the money. And in the end, though, it didn't quite end up being as much money. It's a staggering amount, $95 million for 10 years. But it didn't end up quite being as much money as you heard it might have to be for LSU to land one of these coaches. You know, there's a lot of incentives built into Brian's contract and things like that. But it's quite a coup. But it's, again, I'm not trying to brag on his behalf. But you have to be impressed by the hires that Scott Woodward has made.
Absolutely. Scott, in terms of what he's walking into, what kind of LSU team and what kind of program is Ed Orgeron leaving, and what is Brian inheriting?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the cupboard is bare, but there are some key issues to address. And you started the offensive line. You had a lot of guys come back for their fifth year, for their COVID year on the offensive line, but they still had a lot of issues. You had players, then you had players leave, like Dare Rosenthal was going to be a starting left tackle. He wound up at Kentucky. He had to go. He had a lot of off the field issues here at LSU. Brian's going to have to hit the transfer portal pretty hard, I think. You know, there's some promising young linemen, but that was a definite weakness of this team for most of the year. And so that's going to be an issue. Defensive line, I think, in the trenches is where I think LSU has fallen behind the Georgias and Alabamas over the last couple of years. You know, LSU's got to be better in those places. You got good skill players. You got a great nucleus of receivers and running backs coming back, quarterbacks. I think that if it's a secondary, you've lost Eli Ricks, you're going to lose Derek Stingley. But I think there's some talent coming up there as well. The defense has improved over the course of the year. And strangely enough, kicker. I mean, I can see Cade York, the place kicker, leaving a year early because he's looks like an NFL kicker right now. So I think LSU can be good. I think people need to be a little patient. You know, I heard Colin Cowherd say they're going to contend for a national championship next year. I don't believe that. But I think they can be better, you know, 9-3 better, you know, something like that. And then you look to the years beyond that. But I think you got to, you know, football's really not that complicated. You got to be good in the trenches, and that's where LSU has been deficient, and that's where he needs to start to improve.
One final question, and I am a kind of a big picture guy, and I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit on this. And I get it, when a coach wins a national title, it's permanent, it's on his record. But years from now, how do you think Ed Orgeron is remembered? As a guy that won the national title, or a guy that won the national title and then just couldn't keep his job 2 years later?
You know, I think especially around here, I think the disappointment of the last 2 years will fade somewhat. That season, it wasn't just a national championship season. It was as good a season as you could ever have.
Absolutely.
LSU can and probably will win the national championship again. It's going to be hard-pressed to have a season better. 15-0, beat 7 top 10 teams, had the Heisman Trophy winner, who not only won the Heisman Trophy, but by the biggest landslide in Heisman Trophy history, won all these individual awards. He won National Coach of the Year. It was unbelievable. They beat the preseason top 4 en route to the title. You know, it was unbelievable. And I think when they have that 10-year reunion on the field in Tiger Stadium, and they honor that team on the field in Tiger Stadium 8 years from now, Ed Orgeron will be there, and if he's in good health, you know, God willing, I think he'll be warmly received. I do, because he's one of the people. You know, he's the first, talking about over a century, he's the first guy from South Louisiana to coach LSU since like 1900.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is, you know, despite his flaws, despite his shortcomings that everyone sees, he's one of the people, and I think people will remember him finally. And look, he's going out saying, I'm always going to be an LSU fan. I'm always going to support LSU. You used to say that when you're walking away with $17 million, I realize.
Sure.
But nonetheless, he left in a pretty classy way. And I think, again, despite all the issues, I think eventually that will fade, and people will remember the good times, which the good times were very, very good. And one more thing, if I can say, Ed did what they wanted to do. Ultimately, it did always work, but he tried to change the offensive culture of LSU that had been so lacking. He dragged LSU into the modern era with all these other SEC schools in terms of, you know, being more, you know, more spread, more passing attack, that sort of thing. For the very first game when he was the interim coach, they started slinging the ball downfield against Missouri at like 680 yards of total offense. You know, so he did that, and that gets lost a little bit, I think, in all of this.
Scott, great stuff. I hope you will take our call again when we need LSU on the radio. I really appreciate it. It was a good, fun interview.
Sure. My pleasure. Anytime.
Absolutely. Scott Robilet joins us, again, Baton Rouge Advocate. That was fascinating stuff. I think he's right. Right? I mean, again, I know people's legacies are kind of attached to how they left, right? Fired. You know, look, Ed Orgeron didn't do the long flame out, right? I mean, he didn't win a title in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And it just got a little tiring, and it's like, all right, hang on. You know, we're talking 2 years. It wasn't even 2 years. It was a year and a half. Remember, this guy got fired earlier in the season, right? And I know there was a lot of off-field stuff. And you can find them. You can find story after story after story of why Ed Orgeron really got fired from LSU. And yes, had to do with on-field, but off-the-field stuff too. But I think he's right. In 8 years, when they bring back Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Ed Orgeron, and they bring him back and they have that big celebratory 10-year anniversary of that team, I think he's right. I think there's going to be a real appreciation for that man. And how he left and why he left, I think just becomes, you know, all right, yeah, but so what? This was one of the greatest years I've ever had as a fan. You know, that kind of feeling. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.